Morning, everybody. So, the verse that David shared with us last week, I'm following it on from that. I better. Right, if it slips, just shout. John 1:12, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right or the power to become children of God. And last week, David started this series off by looking at 8 transformative miracles that Jesus did. There are 8. And they're there. Sadness to gladness, sickness to health, paralysis to energy, hunger to fullness. You wonder, well, what's all this transformation about? You know, what does that mean? What does the Bible say that is? Well, here you go. That's what it is. Stranded to arriving, darkness to light, death to life, frustration to success. But did you know John's gospel is also famous for Jesus' personal interviews and conversations with people? The first 3 gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, not so much of an emphasis, but it's all about, in John's gospel, getting up close and personal. And that's the essence of the Christian life. It troubles me when people don't appear to have a relationship with the Lord. It's about being up close and personal. And there are 8 interviews or conversations that take place. And 3 things happen. Next slide. Great. Excuse the slide being upside down. You know, I get things wrong. But the first thing is there's an encounter. They meet Jesus. And a Christian is someone who meets the Lord. Where is he? Well, he's dead. Yeah, he rose, you know. And he's alive forevermore. And we can know him by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And we encounter him. And the second thing is there is always a revelation. In a walk with God, there is revelation. It doesn't stop when you have a first revelation or a second. A revelation is a truth you didn't know that becomes real and active in your life. It's a dynamic thing. It brings, therefore, inevitable transformation. And so the emphasis this morning is about personal encounter and revelation. And it's my heart's desire that everybody in this room would be a person who encounters and encounters the Lord by his Spirit, encounters Jesus by the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, however you want to term it, it's all in the Bible, but also as a person of revelation. Right, it's a bit like fire. If you want fire, you need 3 ingredients and then you get fire. What I'm saying, so you need, what do you need? You need oxygen, fuel, heat, or ignition, then you get fire, right? To be a Christian and to live the Christian life successfully, you need 2 things, and then you get the fire, which is the transformation. You need a revelation, and you need an encounter. Now, who's had an encounter here with, don't put your hand up, rhetorical question. Who's had an encounter here? Let me say this. Who keeps encountering the Lord? Who keeps encountering the Lord? It doesn't stop. It's not a one-off thing. It goes on and on and on and on. It's a revelation. It's an encounter. It's a revelation. It's an encounter. The revelation, the encounter leads to transformation. I remember Tim sat over here. Sorry to embarrass you, saying, do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? Do you know him? That was great when you did that. And that is what it's about. Do you know Jesus personally? Do you know his life? Has he spoken to you? Is he keeping speaking to you? There are these 8 personal encounters. Here they are. Now, don't worry. The first 2 I'm just going to mention will be longer than the others. In fact, 1 I'll miss out altogether. How's that? That's a deal, isn't it? So, you know, there they are. They all had a personal encounter, conversation with Jesus. They met him personally. But also, there was a revelation. There was a life-changing truth imparted that changed their situation. So I'm going to go through those one by one. The first one is where Jesus spoke in John 1 to Peter and Nathanael. I'm homing in on Peter. And the essence of this that I want to mention is about, he said, "You are Simon, son of John, but you will be called Peter." And Peter means rock. Transformed from shaky to solid, a rock. Now, we can be shaky. That is, we can be blown here and there through fear, insecurity, and uncertainty. And I've experienced all of those in my life and still do. I bet you do too, if you're honest. What people we are is because of the experiences often that we've had in the past. And I heard a story about a dad with his young son, who was about 8 or 9, I think. And he was up on a balcony, I think. And the dad said, "Oh, come on then, come on then, come on." He was going to jump to him, you see. And so like that. And the little boy, in total faith of his dad that he'll catch him, jumped. And his dad moved to one side. Didn't catch him. The boy fell and really hurt himself. And somebody asked the dad, "Why did you do that?" And he said, "I've had a lot of bad things happen to me in my life, and people have let me down. I want him to know that he's going to get let down in this life." And, hope it's needless to say, I don't have to say God is not like that, because this dad was, it was deceitful. He tricked his son. It was unkind. You could even say it was cruel. But it was certainly unwise. That child's going to grow up possibly with insecurity, or if that sort of thing is a regular thing, with all kinds of insecurities in his life. God doesn't want us to be full of uncertainty and insecurity. And I just want to say to you today, there are people here who feel like that. There are people who feel insecure, uncertain, very shaky. And look, I am from time to time. I won't go there. And God wants to bring you to a solid state, to make you a rock, not blown here and there. Sometimes we sang that song today. I was wondering if it would come up, that song. And I worry about it. Some Christian songs annoy me, right? And it doesn't annoy me, but I worry about it, see? And it's the one, "You're never gonna let me down." And it's absolutely true. It's true. Well, while it's true, it's true because God will never be unfaithful to you, and he'll always tell you the truth, and he won't trick you. But I worry that people sometimes might get the wrong idea. They might think that if they experience trouble in life, then God's letting them down. We have this tendency, if something bad happens to me, "Oh, heck, what have I done wrong then? Was it when I did this and that?" And it's nothing to do with that. And it's not the absence of trouble or problems that God promises, but that when you encounter problems, difficulties and troubles, that God is alongside you, showing you how to deal with the problem. And I hope nobody thinks when we sing that song, if you go outside, for example, you go outside, you crash the car. It's not your fault at all. You've followed all the rules within the speed limit. It's somebody else's fault. And you try and claim off their insurance, you've got witnesses that, yes, they were faulty and this, that, and the other. And you try and claim the money back, they've got no insurance. So you're lumbered with no car, a miserable day, and down £2,000 or £3,000 with your car. And And it's just one of those things that's happened. It's not your fault. It's just that we live in a broken world. We also make mistakes with things we do. We don't get everything right always, and so trouble comes our way. God doesn't say you won't have it. He says, what I'll be is with you in it to get you through it. He's with you in it to get you through it. He's an our alongside helper. So stop blaming yourself. Stop saying it's because of this, it's because of that. And just say, Lord, my helper, help me in this. The Bible says that God's an ever-present help in trouble. And David writes this in Psalm 34. This poor man called. I love this. I love it. Don't you just love this? He didn't say, this poor man called because I've got no trouble and I'd like a bit more money or whatever, you know. He said, this poor man called, the Lord heard him and delivered him from out of all his fears, all his troubles. So he got loads of troubles. But the Lord gave him a way through, gave him a way out. So listen, God wants to change your name from a person who perhaps is shaky, uncertain, unsure, insecure. He wants to build real security and certainty into your life this morning. You won't be free from trouble because it's unavoidable in a way. But when you have trouble, point six is from chapter 13 to 17. Jesus speaks to his disciples about the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, the alongside helper, and he is with you. God is with you today, whatever your situation. And so this was the revelation. This was the encounter and the revelation. Do you know what? I felt really insecure at times in my life. And I have, when I've come before God and sought him and called on his name, so many times those insecurities just get replaced by the presence of God. And he comes in, the alongside helper, and strengthens me. And I have a completely different perspective and outlook on life. It's supernatural. Transformation takes place. So that was the first thing with Peter. He makes us solid like a rock. He leads us in that direction. The second thing, the second person that, as you go through John's gospel, that Jesus has an up-close and personal encounter with is this man called Nicodemus, who was part of the ruling Jewish council, a very, very religious man. And yet Jesus said to him, Nicodemus, this was the revelation on his encounter. Remember, you need two things. You need a revelation. You need an encounter. You can't have a revelation without an encounter. You won't get an encounter without a revelation. You need a revelation. You need an encounter. You need an encounter. You need a revelation. Does everybody get that? I'm just stressing this slightly. And he comes to Nicodemus and says, Nicodemus, listen, forget it all. Just listen to me. You need to be born again. You've got to be born again. Or born from above. He said, how? How? It was a complete revelation to him. How? Go into my mother's womb and come out again? No, you just got to be born again, born of the Spirit and the Word. And I have told you my story before. I'm touching on it little bits. Because before I was a Christian, Steve Hart in my billet block in the Air Force said, did you know you could know God personally? And I overheard him and I started looking, went to the Christian meeting that he went to. They were all praying, reading the Bibles. Thought they were mad, thought they were stupid, they're just idiots. Went away, he conned me to get back, and, well, he didn't. And I went back, and that second time I had two things. You know what I had? I had a revelation, and I had an encounter. I had an encounter, and I had a revelation. The encounter led to the revelation. The revelation was also from the encounter. And I was there in that meeting, and I just sensed a presence. There's something here. And do you know what? I instinctively knew it was good. It was a good presence. what is this, a ghost or something? Or what you got? What you got? And I also instinctively, this is good if I can get this. And so from then on, instead of him trying to get me to go to this meeting, I was chasing him. I was chasing the person in charge of the group. And I went to Alan, the leader of the group, and I said, Alan, look, there's something here. You've got something. This could be good, but I can't get it. I can't get it because I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. He said, yeah, you've got a problem here. So, look, I'll tell you what to do. Here's how you do it. Look, you pray in your own way to God and ask him to show himself to you, and I'll pray for you. So, great deal. Thanks so much. So I went away. See, I was after this. I was seeking God. I was seeking an answer. See, a lot of people just come into church and it's as if, oh, I'll take it or leave it. Oh, you know, if you want to find God, you find him. If you seek him earnestly, he'll become real to you. If he's not real to you already. Anyway, so I went away and it sounds silly. I've told you this before. I looked outside my billet block and there's a tree. And a revelation came to me. A revelation is a truth you didn't know that becomes real and active in your life. And from that moment in time, I had this revelation that can't not be a God. There's a God, if it took billions of years to make, fine, but I've got a revelation. God is there. So I said, Alan, went back to him and said, Alan, I believe there's a God. He said, great, but you're still not a Christian. You've encountered him. You've felt his presence. You just know about him. He's not come in fully. You're on the outside still. I said, well, I want it. This is wonderful. So 3rd of November 1978, I asked Jesus Christ come into my life. I did think an angel would appear. I did think an earthquake. Something dramatic because I was so serious. Nothing. Went back to the Bible study. Thursday night, read me a Bible verse. He who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life, will not be condemned. You've crossed from death to life. And I thought, oh, but I think it was the word of God that's spoken over me. And from it, I don't know when, hours later, minutes later, I don't know, but overnight, but the Holy Spirit came. The revelation led to an encounter. The encounter happened. I was like this. The joy, the peace, the love, the presence, intimate presence of God. And do you know what? I knew certain things. I had a new outlook, which included a new understanding. God exists for a start. I knew I was a child of God, a son of God, beloved of God. There's nobody higher up in hierarchy than me at that point. I'm as good as anyone. I've only just come into this. I'm a child of God. Complete and unreserved acceptance into that family. Great excitement for the future. Wow, what does this mean? A new priority and ambition to follow the person I'd encountered and who had revealed himself to me. And I suppose it's when you first meet someone. I remember discovering that Liz and I, she'd actually agree to go out with me in the end after spurning me so many months, you know. Eventually, she saw reason and agreed to, you know, and we got together and I thought, flip, this is serious. It's going to be a lifetime thing. And I remember Dale's Bible Week back in 1980-something. And I was kept all awake that night. I didn't have a wink of sleep, just in excitement of thinking my life with this gorgeous girl. Well, I think so. And I just was overwhelmed. And her presence has been with me up to the present time, and it's great. Same with God. It was overwhelming at the time when God came and knocked me back. It had a physical effect. And his presence has changed my life, and his presence has always been with me now, in every way, every day. And he's there, but there's an encounter, there's a revelation, there's an encounter, and it leads to transformation. Have you had it? Has it happened to you? Or are you coming along taking part, enjoying the songs. But really, there's not an encounter. There's not been a revelation to you. Here's a thought. John, who writes John, makes sense, also wrote what? Revelation. The book of, last book of the Bible. Isn't that interesting? Also, do you know what? John is the disciple who was closest to Jesus. So there's a connection. Close relationship comes from a revelation. Personal encounter comes from a revelation. A revelation when you know him. Do you know him? Have you got an ongoing walk with him? I did tell you this story that how just before Christmas I was we just built an extension. I'd done it mainly myself, but to save myself heartache upon heartache, I did get certain people in to do things like lay bricks. And one of the things I needed to get right as well was the floor being dead level, because I was going to lay wood on it. If there's nothing else being laid on, it doesn't really matter, but to lay wood on it needs to be dead level. And so the guys who'd done the bricklaying said, oh, yeah, we lay floors, yeah, we lay. And I just assumed that they'd do it right. What a bodge. And I was running out of time, getting close to Christmas. Liz saying, need to get it done for Christmas. And so I start laying the floor using Hugh's ingenuity with bits of padding and bits of bobs and props and all this sort of stuff and loads of glue, far too expensive, etc. And I was coming down and I got part way and I thought, oh no, it's slightly out. Oh no, it's slightly out. Oh no, oh my God. Anyway, I thought, right. God help. God, what do I do? He's interested in the small things in your life. Don't think you're insignificant and he's not interested in the small things. The small things in your life, he wants to input and help you in your life. Don't disqualify yourself by saying, well, there's people dying all over the world. Why is he interested in my cup of tea or whatever it is? He's concerned because it's personal. He's close. With a person you're close to, you can tell them anything and they're interested, yeah? It's the same with the Lord. So I said, God, what do I do? I'm a bit of a perfectionist. What do I do here? And I got, as it says in the Bible, wisdom. Wisdom came in. I got insight, got wisdom, revelation. So I was, tell you what to do. The wisdom was this. Carry on. And if you need to repair anything, repair it. It's fine. Oh, so I was at peace. Anyway, I carried on. And now you can come round to my house and have a look at this floor. It doesn't look a bodge at all. It looks actually quite professional. It worked. Oh, it was true. Revelation from an encounter. An encounter brings a revelation. You need a revelation. You need an encounter. For fire, you need heat. Three things. For transformation, you just need two things. It's a good deal. You need heat. You need fuel. You need oxygen. You get fire. For transformation. For the reality of the love and power of God to be released in and through you, you need a revelation. You need an encounter. You need an encounter. You need a revelation. Have you had it? Is it real for you? I go and visit my sister sometimes in kind of like Matlock area, Derbyshire, lovely part of the world. And once, who's not a Christian, my sister, and I am praying for her, I've been praying all these years. And she said, one day she said, do you just expect me to just have blind faith? And I said, no, I don't. That's exactly what I don't. You don't have blind faith. You have a revelation. You have an encounter. You have an encounter. You get a revelation. And then it becomes real to you. As it happened. All right. Next person is the woman by the well. Jesus meets this woman. Read the story. It's fascinating. Jesus says, so everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What a promise. What a transformation. People try all sorts of things to attain life and satisfaction. It could be you've tried them. It could be you've tried all sorts of things. Listen, I'll tell you what you need. You need an encounter. You need a revelation. Next one, man born blind. David spoke about this last time. Blindness to sight, that's the transformation. But there was inner transformation as well. Because the disciples had said, who sinned? We went back on this story again. Who sinned, this man or his parents that is blind? And Jesus said, neither. Some people see life as if it's karma. I want to tell you, karma is not Christian in that you are not fated one way or another. You can change your destiny. The Bible says this, Proverbs 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Then what? There's a result. Yeah, that's not karma. There's a result from your actions. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge or submit to him. Then he will direct your steps. He'll lead you through the difficult waters. He'll lead you through the insecurity, through the uncertainty, through the fear. Some people here are gripped by fear, I think. I've not seen it. I'm just saying. The revelation, there's an encounter. There's a transformation. There's a revelation, there's an encounter. There's an encounter, there's a revelation, there's a transformation. And Lord God, can I pray? I've not finished, but can I pray? I pray, Lord, for people to have an encounter and a revelation. There we are, I finished praying. I need to get on with this quick. Martha and Mary, John 11, life from death. Martha meets Jesus and says, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother Lazarus would not have died. If only. If only. Are the people here today who are saying in your life, if only this had happened. If only I'd not married that person. If only I had married that person. If only I'd not got that job. If only I had got that job. Oh, if only. Are you living with a regret that rests about here in your body of regret? I just want to tell you, it's a new day. It's a new year. It's a day of life as opposed to darkness. It's a day of transformation, not staying in the rut, staying in the hole, staying in the pain of regret for past opportunities. It's a new start for you. The sun is rising. It's a new day. The bulbs are starting to grow up. It's a new day. Some people here need to know it's a new day. It's a day of new life, a day of new beginnings for you. And can I say, and I've said this before, that the best awaits you? The best awaits you. And then Jesus moved, deeply moved in spirit, goes to the tomb and says, Lazarus, come out. And he comes out. He's raised to life. See, they thought it was too late. Here's another thing. They thought it was too late. Jesus delayed 4 days before coming to raise Lazarus. There are people here who have said, it's too late for me. Too late for this. If this had been 10 years ago, I'd have been able to get my head around it and self-sorted, but it's too late. And I just want to say that I don't believe it's too late. I believe there's resurrection, there's new life, there's transformation for you. It's not too late. While you've got breath in your lungs, and a heart that pumps blood around your body, whatever situation you are in, God can, the alongside helper can come with you and lead you by his spirit into green pastures. It's not too late for you to know purpose, meaning, fulfillment in your life. It's not too late for key things to happen for you in your life. It's not too late. If only. it's not too late. Already done about the 11 apostles, keep my promise. 7, Mary Magdalene. The unlikely, what about this? The unlikely happens. Why is it unlikely that Mary Magdalene would be the first person to see Jesus alive after his resurrection? Why is that unlikely? Because women were regarded as dogs status in the Jewish mindset. They would never have a woman do that. And some of us say, some people say, I'm disqualified. You don't know me. You don't know my past. Do you think God cares about your past? Do you think he's bothered about mistakes you've made? He forgives you if you come to him sincerely, saying, I'm sorry. And he gives you a new way forward, a new life. The unexpected, the unlikely happens. It's not too late. It's not too late. My last one, the Apostle Peter. By the Sea of Galilee, he's eating a meal, fish, bread. And Peter, who denied him 3 times, comes to him. He should have not done that. If our God was basically more judgmental than loving, then another passage that Jesus said would kick in, because Jesus said, everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny you before my Father in heaven. But he accepts Peter. Peter, sit down. Have some food. Do you love me, Peter? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Then I recommission you to what I said you should do in the first place. Feed my sheep. See, it's not too late. It's never too late. If only. Can it ever be? Yes. I'm unqualified. I'm only a woman. I'm only this. I'm only that. Can't do this. Can't do the other. But you can do what God wants you to do. You can do what he's called you to do. And it's your day, it's your time to pick up and start walking with what he's put in your hands to do. He says to Peter, I forgive you and I restore you. And so here we are today, still kind of in the beginning of a new year. But to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the power to become. What do you need? What do you need? An encounter. What else do you need? You need for a fire, you need 3 things. To be on fire for God, to know God's fire in you, you need 2 things, and then the 3rd will follow on automatic. You need an encounter, you need a revelation, you need a absolutely. So guess what I'm going to pray for? I'm just going to pray for you for an encounter and a revelation. See, I got an encounter the other week about my floor. And I can see other encounters that I need soon. Revelations that I need. I need God's help in. Do you? So I just wonder if the music group could come back. We'll just play. But I'd just love to just pray for us. And could I invite us? Are you all right to just stretch your legs? Why don't we just put our hands out in front of us? Unless you're saying, no, I don't want any of this. But if you're saying, yes, I'd like prayer. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know you, Lord. As Paul says, he wrote that, didn't he, in Philippians. I want to know you, Lord. To know you more. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. I want to know him. And let's just put our hands out in front. Oh, you can all stand. You can all stand. I'm not just saying for people who want that. I mean, you're all included. I don't want anybody to not experience the Lord. So, Lord, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for how back in 1978 you invaded my being in a wonderful way. The best thing that's ever happened to me. And, Lord, thank you. You've been with me every day since. And thank you, you're still with me. You're still revealing yourself to me. I'm still encountering you in my life. And I pray for each person in this room, Lord. I pray no one will go from here today not sure that they've encountered you, not sure that they've been revealed to them about you. from sadness to gladness, from sorrow to joy, from death to life, from sickness to health. All these things, Lord, we just thank you. They're in the Bible. And Lord, I pray for my friends here today. From sadness to gladness, from darkness to light, from death to life, from saying, it can't be, it can be. From saying, I'm too late. Oh no, you are not too late, you're bang on time. There's no too late with God. Holy Spirit, our alongside helper. John 13-17, all about the Holy Spirit. Lord, come and breathe upon these people, my friends. Breathe on them your spirit. May there be revelations now across this room, revelations. And for anyone who's not encountered you, Lord, let them see you for the first time. Let eyes be opened, not just physically, but let them see you on the inside. God, I pray for an encounter. I pray for a revelation and the resulting transformation. In Jesus' name, amen.